I definitely understand his difficulty of understanding some things just because this offense is difficult, and especially going against our defense, seeing the different coverages, seeing the roles, the disguises that our defense do, it's really going to help him out when the season comes if he's the starting quarterback.
We're so good at this. Justin Jefferson. Justin Jefferson would not have been eligible for the Cup of Coffee draft on the basis of that the Bills traded the pick that was used to take him for Stephon Diggs.
But yet somehow Antonio Brown qualified.
Yeah. Well, Ian Rappaport, none other than Ian Rappaport, reported that he was on the Bills. That's a little bit more. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog here, pleased. I mean, that doesn't even really do it justice to be joined by Matthew Collar.
Thrilled?
How about this?
Thrilled's a little
Sorry,
man.
Really?
I felt like I was too eager to say thrilled. I was too thrilled
I'm thrilled. Yeah. Western Hotline, Matt, he's on our tree, current friend of ours, former co-worker of ours, purpleinsider.com, killing it in Minnesota. Matt, what's new?
Well, I am overjoyed to be joining you guys. So, you know, I was hoping Bulldog wouldn't take that back. But, you know, we're doing good. We're doing good. Trying to figure out if there's a real quarterback competition or not, which is, you know, not knowing who the Vikings quarterback is going to be. I've gotten really good at that over the years. It seems like that's all the time here. So, I'm doing all right.
Bulldog hates Kyler Murray.
I can't stand Kyler Murray.
Why is that?
I think he only chose to play football instead of baseball because the pathway to a huge payday was easier or sooner.
What do you think?
I don't think that's true. And here's why I don't think that's true is because I did a story where I was talking to a couple of guys who covered Kyler Murray in Texas about how he was the best high school player in the history of the state of Texas, which that's like being the best hockey player ever from the state of Minnesota, right? Like it's that says a lot about him. They all thought that he was going to go play baseball. But the reason that they came away with for him playing football was that that was where his heart really was. Mm. And when you think about like his dad was a Texas A&M quarterback. And like, that's been a huge part of their relationship, you know, with Kyler Murray. His personality and the way he is outwardly, I think, lends itself to people writing their own narratives about Kyler because he never fights back. Like, he never comes – he's not Baker Mayfield. Like, he's not going to come out and say, you guys are writing this about me and it's not true. Mm-hmm. He's just sort of allowed everyone to say whatever they want to say about him, and he kind of does his own thing. And I've now spent months trying to figure out who Kyler Murray is, and I can tell you it's very hard. Because his circle is extremely small, so it's hard to find people that are like willing to really talk about who he is as a person, like the whole does he play too many video games type of thing. Right. But you know, when I did have a really long conversation with Josh Weinfuss, who covers him for ESPN, his main thing was that he thinks that there's some misunderstanding there based on the fact that Kyler is such a quiet guy. That he doesn't spit fire. He's not somebody that's jumping around sidelines and stuff. And I think that makes people think that. And then when you look at the organization that he's been in, like we make fun of the Jets. We make fun of the Browns because they're just hysterical. But the Arizona Cardinals are abominable. Like when the NFL Players Association voted, you know, on the coaching and graded the facilities and everything, they gave their owner an F-. I didn't even think there was an F-.
There like, isn't. They made it up.
Gave them. Right. So, and even when you look at like what he's been dealing with recently there, he had an ACL tear. They tore the roster down. They've changed coaches. They can never get top-notch coaches because no one wants to work for that owner. And then they drafted a wide receiver, fourth overall, who is atrocious. They drafted Keon Coleman with the fourth overall pick.
Wow.
And, I mean,
Matthew.
After watching the tape, this would be as if Keon Coleman had actually played a ton. That's Marvin Harrison Jr. So
wow.
I think with Kyler, just like how everyone said Sam Darnold saw ghosts, they will change their tune once they see him throw the ball to Justin Jefferson.
Yeah. Well, I definitely would plead guilty to inventing my own narrative about him. I mean, clearly. I mean,
it's what we do.
I'm not talking to someone from the inner circle. But what you're telling us and me here is maybe take with a grain of salt that there were clauses in the contract about video games because it came from the Arizona Cardinals.
Yes, so I've looked into that as well. And the story that I got is that there is, as Stephon Diggs once said, truth to all rumors. So there is like an issue with him and coming out of college where Cliff Kingsbury implemented a college offense for the Arizona Cardinals that he had been playing with through college. So he felt like, and I'm not saying this is right, but it was kind of like the Caleb Williams thing where he felt like he knew the offense already and did not probably put in the work he should. Now, he still had relative success. Like 2021 is a really good season. But I think he came into the league like, I already know this offense. I don't need to do more, which is maybe an arrogance of being the number one overall player. But what happened was with his agent and the team, and remember, this is the Arizona Cardinals, so it's a bad team. They had a huge like battle over his contract, and ultimately the public was sort of mocking Arizona for giving out such a terrible contract, and their response from their GM was to leak this out there to make Kyler look bad. So you're making your own franchise quarterback look bad because you're mad that you got run over the coals in a contract negotiation. So there was truth to it, but it was also ridiculous that it ever came out there. And then my understanding is, because I know Jonathan Gannon from Minnesota, that he and Jonathan Gannon had a great relationship to where they were going to each other's houses watching film, that they worked really closely together, and that it was not Jonathan Gannon's choice to bench him last year. That was the management wanting to tank and lose every game, which we support tanking here. But
we do.
There's a lot with Kyler that's sort of been like, it reminds me of Sam Darnold, where you start going through it and you're like, man, with Darnold, Carolina, good Lord. The Jets, like this guy had been through it. Doesn't mean he's going to be the best quarterback in the league with the Vikings. But when I hear this stuff, I'm like, this is stuff that would not happen with a more premier organization necessarily. So I think that when I watch back Kyler, I see his flaws, and they're there because we went through this with Doug Flutie, who I love deeply. But like there were issues with the height, and it comes up. But also, I think that a lot of the organizational stuff weighed heavy. And one of my favorite stats to give you guys is that the last 3 years, Kyler is 13-17. When he doesn't play, they're 2-19. No, one. I think it's 1-19. One or 2-19. They win like never when he doesn't play. So I think this is how you talk yourself into it. I don't know how it's actually going to go, but there's a lot of stuff when you go through it where you're like, this is just atrocious what he was dealing with in Arizona.
Matthew Collar, purpleinsider.com. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog. We support tanking. The Vikings were 4-8 with Max Brosmer throwing passes to the Seahawks on every play last year, and then they had the nerve to go win 5 straight and finish with a winning record. So they might not agree, but you got to love the Murray bet for Minnesota. I mean, there's no competition there as I see it. Maybe you'll push back. It's Murray week one, I think, 99% at least. And I think it could work. There's an athlete there if he wants to run again, and you've got a coach, Matthew, that knows how to get the most out of quarterbacks, except for McCarthy, I guess. I don't know. Maybe that was the most you could get out of him. So I feel like it's a great bet.
It's a tremendous bet because they have a roster with a lot of veteran players that, I mean, if you roll McCarthy back out there and he plays like he did last year and gets hurt a bunch of times because he holds on to the ball too much and he plays reckless, and then he throws the ball 50 miles over Justin Jefferson's head like he did repeatedly, you're talking about kind of full disaster mode, and maybe that would be a good tank, but that's not what they're really looking to do. With Kyler also, there wasn't a quarterback to draft, so even if they did, lose all the games, it wasn't like, it'd be great if they had gotten Caleb Downs or something, but, right. It wasn't like there was a quarterback that was there that they could get to the bottom to draft, a Fernando Mendoza or something. So this was by far the best bet. He's also 28. Like, it's not like he's 34 years old and they're just kind of hoping that, this becomes Raiders Rich Gannon or something. Like, the guy is almost the same age as when Sam Darnold turned the corner. But also there's another stat I could throw at you, which is kind of interesting, that Kevin O'Connell, as the Vikings coach, is 31-9 when his quarterback at least has a 90 quarterback rating. 90 is not even that great. When his quarterback even plays okay, because they have the best defensive coordinator in the National Football League, they win most of the time. And, you know, I think with Kyler, I don't believe that you have to be the best quarterback in the entire NFL to be a legitimate contender. And I think we see this happen in the NFC a lot, where I don't believe that Jalen Hurts is the best quarterback in the NFL. I don't think Sam Darnold is. And, you know, I was kind of, you know, maybe his biggest defender when he left Minnesota. I don't think Brock Purdy's the best quarterback in the NFL. It's really been a roster building and coaching competition, but you have to reach a certain bar. And could I see Kyler being just as good as a Jared Goff, a Jordan Love, and win the division if they have the best, you know, defense and they've beefed up their offensive line? They have, you know, I think a better maybe run game this year potentially. And also, Justin Jefferson last year was just made irrelevant by the quarterback play. It's not, you know, that long ago that he was offensive player of the year, and I don't think he's changed. So, you know, I think that Kyler staying healthy is always a question. His ups and downs are a huge question. But if you can even get reasonably good play from him, then at least you're a serious team in the NFC.
Is it? Would you expect it to be peaceful between he and McCarthy, or would the organization want to move McCarthy out of there?
That is a question we're talking about a lot, because I don't know if I have a great feel on that. I mean, McCarthy's first press conference was exactly the opposite of what anyone would have told him to do. Like, they would have said, just don't make a bunch of headlines that makes it seem like you're really ticked off. And what he did was make a bunch of headlines. That
you saw that too, Matt? You saw that too? Yeah.
I read that the same way. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I mean, and like, that's also not how he ever talks to us. So it was like, oh, okay, I get it. It's either our fault and you don't realize other people are watching, or like, you're just really mad and can't contain it, which I think is actually a major J.J. McCarthy issue, is that he wears his emotions on his sleeve to the point where it's just uncontrollable for the coaches, for his teammates, and that was problematic last year. I think that he's had some really bad breaks. Like, an injury when he comes into the league is so tough, because that's huge development time. And then last year, the act you have to follow is a guy who not only won 14 games, but then was en route to doing it again the whole season. Everyone is talking about, hey, that guy who left Minnesota is kicking ass. Like, oh, that's great for, you know, JJ to come in with a veteran team. He's never played before. And, oh, just be our franchise quarterback. And we let go this great quarterback for you. I think that really got to him. But I also think that, you know, accuracy is really tough to fix unless, you know, even when you're Josh Allen, but like, he's not Josh Allen in terms of his athleticism and his size and all that stuff. He's not the runner that Josh Allen is. So the likelihood that this turns around, I mean, even the research, if you look up guys who played quarterback this badly through their first 10 starts, I mean, you're talking like Jimmy Clausen land.
Woof.
So I don't know what they do. I mean, I think for this year, sure, like, keep him as your backup quarterback, try to develop him, see where you're at for next year. Because Kyler, I mean, he could play well and then just be like, thanks for the memories, guys. I'm going to go sign elsewhere, because he's got a no franchise tag clause in his contract. So this thing is totally up in the air. I mean, they could trade him at the end of camp, or he could end up being somebody that they want to keep in case Kyler gets hurt. I really don't know. It kind of comes down to how mature he wants to be.
Week 9, the Bills in Minnesota, November 9th, Monday night. Will you go to that game, Matt?
Oh, yeah. Oh,
you'll be at that? You'll be at that game?
Oh, yeah. I'll be there. 100%. Yeah.
So is
that's the game of the year for us.
Sammy P is going to that game, Bulldog. Sam Paniadovich, he said last week he's going to be at that game. Buffalo at Minnesota.
All right.
Matthew, the Bills play 5 games against the NFC, and they're all in primetime. All the NFC North games, and I'm talking like you don't know this, all the NFC North games, and then at the Rams as well. 6 games in the division, none in primetime, which, you know, the Jets don't have any night games themselves. Miami's probably bad. New England. But how about that? Detroit, Chicago, Green Bay, Minnesota, L.A. Rams, all at night.
I love that, because those are all good matchups. I also think that it says a lot about the NFC North and the NFC in general. One of the things that I've been trying to do for summer content, because I get very frustrated by power rankings, like, why do people read them? And so, you know, my listeners have challenged me, like, oh, if you're so great, then why don't you power rank? So here I am, power ranking the NFC every once in a while. And I am struggling. Like, the top is easy, the Rams, of course. And then, you know, Seattle, I think, deserves to be right there with them. They didn't lose that much. But then who after that? Like, if you, the Lions missed the playoffs, but there's a good argument for the Lions that they were just so hurt last year and so forth. There's a good argument for the Packers. There's, I mean, I think Chicago's going to get hit by regression, but if Caleb Williams does the Josh Allen thing, and he's certainly the athlete to be able to do it, then they're just going to win a bunch of games. San Francisco is still out there. Philadelphia went and, you know, got a top-notch pass rusher, made a really good move in the draft. Like, it's tricky. And I wonder what you guys think, though, about that Bills schedule. That sounds pretty tough. Are people worried?
It is. We might need to do, in Matt's honor, we might need to do reverse NFC power rankings. And I think the only easy answer is Arizona is 16. Because I don't know who else would be. And then after that, like Matt is saying, you could really mix things up. The schedule, you know, Matt, we got to go, but it's the first year of the stadium. It's a new head coach. Almost every week is going to be really hot. And that's assuming the games with the Dolphins and the Jets are not that interesting, but you never know. Those are rivals, division games. Every other game, we decided that Vegas was the fifth least, what, appealing or competitive-looking game on the schedule. Everything else, NFC North, Rams, AFC West, Baltimore, Houston in week one. There's a lot going on that schedule, as you know. So, yeah, it's going to be good.
I love that. That sounds awesome.
How's life otherwise? Good?
Great. Yeah, I just got back from golfing. We have another greyhound that we adopted.
Yes. So,
right.
That's been wonderful.
Name?
Wonderful process. And my wife is broadcasting games for the number one player in the WNBA, Olivia Miles, who's taken the league by storm. So that's been awesome as well.
How do you name your dogs?
This one came very naturally. He is so outgoing that we just named him Buddy. Because he wants to be everybody's buddy. His race dog name was Hooligan, and we did not like that. So he was so friendly that we named him Buddy.
Very nice. Glad to have you on, Matthew. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for having me, guys.
I was thrilled with how that went. I hope Matt heard that.
Yeah?
Yeah, no. Yeah.
Why do you say that? Because how it started?
Well, it started. I didn't want to use thrilled. Remember,
yeah, he caught you.
It was only 15 minutes ago.
One thing about that guy, he will catch you.
Yep.
Buddy. Yeah, he's a Greyhound guy. It's a Greyhound house. Matt and Sloan both were here in this building for years, if you didn't know. Coming up at 4, Matt Larkin. Lots of NHL rumors to talk about. Jeremy White will join us next hour as well. And Brian Koziol, too, U.S. Open. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog.